Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is IBM Session Manager for COX Collecting Diagnostics. Today's presenter is Bill Bolfin. Bill provides Level 2 worldwide remote technical support for the CICS tools portfolio of products, including the IBM Session Manager for COX. Bill has provided Level 2 support for CICS tools portfolio since their introduction to the marketplace. He has performed post-installation activities for the CICS Plex System Manager at more than 60 customer locations in North America. Bill also performs periodic serviceability reviews for new releases of the individual CICS tools and the CICS transaction server for COS. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Bill.
Welcome, everybody, and thank you for joining this subconference today. We'll begin by advancing the slide 2. Take a look at our agenda for today. Basically, we're going to look at what information Level 2 needs to know for any session manager problem that we encounter. We'll look at some of the problems that are most often reported to Level 2, and then the diagnostic information that we're going to need to efficiently solve the problem. We'll look at some of the diagnostic tools available in the product, and then we'll summarize our session today. And lastly, this is certainly not a fully comprehensive list of diagnostic information because that could not be accomplished in 45 minutes. But again, it's enough to get us started and a way that we can respond to you, hopefully right after you open a problem with a solution if we get enough information at the beginning. Let's advance to the slide 3. So the preliminary information we need for any problem that you're going to report with ISF, when you open a problem, start out and tell us what is the impact to your business operations or your plans. It's helpful for us to know if this is affecting, just 20 users in a test or 200 users on a production or getting an application, or if this is just part of a migration rollout plan schedule and that alerts. But again, give us a business impact statement when you open a problem and we can serve you better. The next thing that we like to know, and sometimes customers will provide it in the product market and other times they don't, is just what are you trying to accomplish? Oftentimes there'll be a message or an abend condition indicated, but it's helpful to us to know the overall, the bigger picture of what you're trying to accomplish, because oftentimes even though there is a message coming out which needs resolution, if we know what you're trying to accomplish, we can often find alternatives within the product to help you accomplish that as well as solving the problem. Next, one of the most basic things, but it's rarely given to us when a problem is open, but it's very important, is the level of session manager you're using. There's a few releases out there, and it's very helpful to us to know specifically what level you're at. So let's advance to the next slide, slide 4. Probably the easiest command issue to let us know what level of session manager you have and what features are currently active is to issue a query ISZS manager command. You can issue this within the product itself. You can, it'll be going to the audit log. You can issue it from a modify command at the console. It's usually indicated during the startup itself. And what I do have circled there that's helpful is the specific level. So in this case, it shows that I'm running version 2.106B, which is the current highest level of support. And then the next thing that's helpful to us, too, is to give us some insight to the ZOS level itself, is it'll say VTAM 6.1.A, and that tells me that we're running on a ZOS release 10 system because that's the level of communication server VTAM that's shipped. But then it shows what features are installed. These service units are listed, 30 down to 66, tells me what's going on and if you're using a Telnet server configuration. Again, this is a great command to issue and to paste this directly into a problem record when you open up to let us know what level you're running, even if you just put in that first line with the ISZ0306I message. So let's go on to slide 5. The next command is query stats, and you could issue that as well. This will also tell us the same level of the product and version. But what's very useful with this command is oftentimes environmentally when a problem occurs can be related to how long the session manager has currently been active, how many terminals are there, how many sessions are currently being processed, the number of VTAM ACBs that are open, and the receive RPLs that are active, et cetera, whether or not MISER is active and has been working in compression levels. So this is a great command to paste into a problem record when you open it up because it gives us a lot of information that's helpful to us and the change team in determining how going to go about our diagnosis. So it may depend if we see a large number of users, that could be key to us, or if we see a large amount of miser compression occurring, that also could be key. Another thing you can do is with even automation products, you can issue this command using an MVS modify command at various intervals. Say if you're not too much toggle traffic every 10 minutes or every 30 minutes, just so that if your session manager is going to be up for weeks or months at a time, that there's a record within the log that we could look at and get snapshots at periods to see what the activity was, versus just scouring several hundred thousand lines of log output. So let's advance to slide 6. If you don't have that, just let us know the level of ZOS. So if you go on to slide 7, just doing a display IPL info command and pasting that in the prime record is helpful to us as well. We'll see that the release will come up there and we will know exactly what we're running. So on to slide 8. The next thing that's very important on any session manager call is exits, what exits are currently being used. Let's go on to slide 9. The command you can enter for this is driver, and you can issue this and copy and paste it right into a prom record, and that's very helpful to us. So in this case, we can see that I've got like an E08 timer exit active, the E09 call exit. I've got an E21 sign-on validation exit and 22 sign-on completion exit, and a few others. But this is a very helpful command to the service organization and the change team to know what exits are currently active in the environment. Let's advance to slide 10. The next pieces of information, and again, they save a maybe an email flow or a problem requeue set of flows in asking a lot of queries, because often we have to queue a problem back and ask all these basic preliminary questions, which is, has this ever worked? Which is very helpful to us to know, is that this is a new configuration if you're migrating and you're just trying to get this to work. That can, will help us to know is if we're looking at this as a defect or as a configuration issue. Also, did it just start failing? And if so, when? That'll bring in several other queries as to what may or may not have changed in the environment. Another area that is very important for us to know is, did the session manager initialize without errors? When your session manager comes up, you'll want to check for an ISZ0437W or a 438E type messages, which is a warning or errors, in the configuration. When session manager initializes, it's going to do some basic vetting of the configuration, and oftentimes it will initialize successfully with warnings and or errors, and you can run for quite some time until you run into a problem later on related to whatever that warning error was. If it was an ACB range that couldn't be found, et cetera, when you go to access that application and now you get a failure, oftentimes it's been traced back to at the initialization there were unresolved warnings or errors. So that's the key thing to know if it occurred, and if you've got any, we want to resolve those. Again, any changes to session manager exits or scripts, modifications to start scripts for sessions or the init scripts, if the operating system has upgraded. If you're using online administration within the session manager, we make heavy use of PDSE data sets, and sometimes DFSMS maintenance can affect how those operate. Did you upgrade the communication server or change your communications configuration, TCP/IP, make any changes to security? All of these things should be validated and reported in the prom record when you open it so that we can save one of the problem flows in asking those questions. So let's go to slide 11. The next thing that's important for us and the change team as well, depending on the nature of the problem, are very detailed, step-by-step, what you had to do to get to the problem, what users were affected, one specific user, all users, maybe only users accessing remote applications, what specific LU names might be affected, is, you know, because that might lead to we have a problem with a particular ACB and VTAM system that we need to block and deallocate. The other thing that's very important for us to have, and we often have to go back to determine, is what time of day and date did this problem occur? As I said initially, session manager is often up for weeks or months at a time. And when we get a set of JED message logs in the audit log, we can spend a great deal of time searching for when the problem occurred if it's not tied to a specific error message. The other thing that's very useful is a screenshot. If, in fact, it's related to what is on the screen and it's difficult to describe, capture those screenshots and send them along. They can come in as an email attachment, as a Word document, however you like to do that. The other thing is, do you suppress any messages? Oftentimes, people that have been on the Session Manager a while might find that there's excessive traffic on the console, and they will look at a lot of messages that are informational and change the message definition to either not issue them at all anymore to the console, suppress them altogether. But we have worked on problems in the past where we spend a great deal of time wondering how this could have occurred without getting a message, only to determine that the customer configuration had decided to suppress certain messages. So if you have done that, let us know. So let's advance to slide 12. Next, we'll look at some of the commonly reported problems. And again, we have seen many different problems that are not listed here that are sometimes unique to a specific site and how they're migrating or deploying the Session Manager. But ones that we have seen definitely more than one time are related to logging on to the Session Manager initially, the initial menu presented to users, what scripts that are running or being crafted for particular applications, certain admins. Typically, in Session Manager, if it encounters a logical condition, it will produce an OC3 admin, an execute of an execute. We'll look at some of those. Problems with starting application sessions. Various error messages that will come out within to end users themselves or out in the log. So advance to slide 13, please. Problems just with the terminal itself. Sometimes there's issues related to what ACB was chosen for a session, and it may or may not have an effect on how the resulting application functions based on the ACB that was chosen. Problems with escaping. Again, those we need to know, has it been working, and if it's not, who it's affecting, and the type of escape issue that it is. And those usually require very specific details of the problem. Other areas involve what log mode was chosen, a particular application. Sometimes we'll get a hang or it just doesn't respond. Perhaps you'll get an incorrect display, and those are more difficult if it's intermittent, and that's where screenshots come in very handy. Let's advance to slide 14, please. Other times there's some performance issues where it just either is running fine and then there's perhaps a slowdown in responsiveness. And sometimes it goes away on its own, sometimes it doesn't, and what we can do. If you're going to convert from a classic to an online administration environment, or OLA, what we need to do if you have a problem in that area. If you're using batch administration, let's say you've been using the Configuration Manager for a time and you have a lot of applications and users, you may find that it's easier to make changes through batch than online and the problems that may be encountered there. We'll also look at some of the problems people have when they run multiple instances of session managers with either the Sysplex configuration setup, if you choose that environment, or VTAM networking. Yeah, either way, the session managers can communicate. And lastly, we'll look at some of the issues regarding security implementation. Let's advance to slide 15, please. So right now we'll go through some of the areas that I just listed with some more questions. If you're having problems with logging on to the session manager, things you want to put in that problem record and let us know is, are all users affected or just specific users coming on? Also, is it just new users? There are many users that are successfully logged on and just new ones coming in. If it's a problem with reconnecting, they've been on, they disconnected, and they're trying to bring their session back in. Sometimes that's related to the next one, which is transferring. Have they come back in on the exact same terminal? Did they switch 3270 emulators or upgrade their emulator in between trying to reconnect? Is it a problem with the affinity? If you're running multiple session manager instances, you may need to make sure your session reconnects with the session manager instance where you began your sessions. And sometimes that can be an issue with exits. Is there a problem with the load balancing? You know, many users coming in and logging on, and you feel that when session manager is getting overloaded, and what you can do to control that. Whether or not you're using an E11 logon exit, which can control where a user may run and different options they get with their session. So that's information we would need for just general signing up to the session manager itself. Let's go to slide 16, please. Once you are successfully logged on to the session manager, typically the first thing everyone sees is their menu, what application sessions they're allowed to start, et cetera. One of the areas where we get problems is the ability is related to hidden sessions. Using the E22 exit and security, oftentimes it's easier to have sessions that are hidden to a user if they're not authorized to see them to make administration easier. One thing that we would ask for in a prime record, and it would be helpful to us, is if you are using online administration, is to have your administrator go in, or the user, and one of the functions you can do for local users is list their user sessions, and then there's a PFI key to see the user view. This is actually once the security checks have been made, we would see what the user would be presented, and pasting that into the prime record is very helpful. Other questions that sometimes come up related to also the hidden sessions on the main menu, the session sequence. Sometimes there's a question of they're not coming out in the order that are anticipated. And again, the user view is very helpful to us in beginning that problem diagnostics and providing a resolution. So let's go on to slide 17, please. The next area is with scripts. One of the most common things that everyone has are start scripts or init scripts that are related to a session just to make the end user's life more productive. One of the most important things that we can have to get a quick resolution to a scripting problem is using the trace data command within the session manager. So what this will do is it will produce a JES spool output file that you can spin off. And the key thing in there for us to examine on any of these scripts is there's one of the trace messages that comes out is an ISF0387i session output. And the key success in our experience with any of the scripts is that every one of those session outputs must be handled, either with waiting for input in the TPSL itself, where you're going to start a scan from looking for data. But that trace data will definitely, if you provide that upfront, will help level two in solving why your script may either provide incorrect output or may hang in timeout. The other option you have is there's two commands called record and replay. And what they will do is they can capture the screens as they go along. And when you do the replay, we can look at each individual screen and it will format out the 3270 buffers themselves. So it's not just hex data alone, but we can see an erase write alternate. We can see all the specific 3270 data stream codes. And you can take those and replay them and print the screens to hard copy and send those in as well. And again, the source of the script would be very helpful. So let's go on to slide 18. Add-ins. Although add-ins are hopefully infrequent, when they do occur, typically end users will see that they're not getting response. They'll X clock on their sessions while the dump actually occurs. I would put automation in place to detect the fact that a dump has come out of Session Manager. Oftentimes, if it's a particular sequence that has produced that dump, we can look at a log and see that this is the seventh time, through an ISF0732i that this dump has occurred. What we usually would like in the service side is the dump number 01. That is usually the one that kicked everything off, and that's the one we want to see, and typically solving that problem will help us solve any subsequent dumps that have occurred. So let's go on to slide 19. The next area that we'll typically get is once you've migrated and have a session manager up and you're successfully logged on and you've got your menu you want are problems with starting the forward session. So we typically need to know if there's an init script or start script associated with that particular session. The most common types of session startings are with non-parallel applications. Typically you have a session manager ACB which supports parallel sessions. And then you access oftentimes a CICS or an IMS application, which are not supporting a parallel ACB. So users will go and try to connect in there, and they will get a sense code back saying that particular session failed to establish. Often the best practice for CICS are using ACB ranges so that you can provide a pool of ACBs for your CICS system so that you get out from the parallel ACB conflict. Another area typically with CICS, again, are auto-install failures. Oftentimes when people are deploying the session manager, they've already had a session manager. They're either migrating to this one for various reasons, and their CICS terminal auto-install exits have been customized over many, many years, and sometimes the previous session manager ACB names, the LU names that come in, the KIX auto-install exit are tied to those into how they choose a terminal type term for coming in. So in those cases, usually what we need are the CICS message user logs so we can see all the auto-install messages and which term and type terms are called, and oftentimes just a listing of the auto-install exit because we have seen problems which are directly related to the ACB name and part of the migration. Sometimes the ACB names change with the session manager. So let's go on to slide 20. Other areas where we get some common problems are just incorrect results or output that come out. Sometimes the menu display, sometimes the data gets truncated. That sometimes is related to the 3270 emulator itself. The screen size has changed between disconnecting and reconnecting. If it's a problem with a panel, so if you issue various commands or using OLA, we'll be displaying many panel sequences to the user, and those panels are difficult sometimes to describe exactly what they are. So if you just type in the panel ID command on any of the session manager panels that and put that in the problem record, that helps us, one, in identifying if it's a known problem on that panel. Two, it helps us understand where you may be navigated to get to that panel ID. If it's a problem with the incorrect output of the script, is again, did the scripts change? Are you using an init script or anything else? A common thing is you've had a script and it's been running for a while and it just stopped working and no one is certain why, but the application changed. The application was looking specifically for certain data on that screen and the application rolled out a change and now, or even if the application didn't change, based on how they access it on the network, it might produce a different screen that comes out of that session and now the start script hangs in trying to process it. So there we need a data trace out of session manager so that we could see exactly what the output flows were and does the script handle them. Let's go on to slide 21. Escaping. This is another area where we get many questions and sometimes problems that will occur. And what we need to know on the escaping is, has it ever worked? Oftentimes, if it's just getting started, we can go through and if we understand what exactly you're trying to accomplish, we can assist you in how to best maybe configure it to get the escaping capability you're looking for. Again, related to the escaping, are all users affected or just specific users? Is it all applications? Oftentimes we'll get problems where it's only escaping from a particular application unique to everything else, and the escape sequences work fine there. And again, the ISM data trace and screenshots will help us determine what is unique about that escaping sequence. And the very, very specific as to what keystrokes were entered and the sequence of events and screenshots of all that is extremely helpful to us in trying to efficiently and quickly solve an escaping problem. Let's move on to slide 22. The next thing is messages. Many of the, you can set a default to always get an ISZ prefix message coming out and not just text only, but oftentimes the text will come out in different things you're doing within the session manager is just text only, and paraphrasing that or putting that in the problem without the message ID can help slow our problem resolution because some of the text sequences are very difficult to determine what the actual message really was. So typing in message ID will display the associated ISZ message for the text. The other thing we need to know is if you have modified message definitions. Session manager certainly allows you to determine through the message suffix or the message definition itself where you want messages to go, and you can modify them as well and remove them completely. So we need to know that. Let's move on to slide 23. The next area is 3270 data stream errors, various PROG 500 messages, PROG 4XX, XClock, things that, you know, input inhibited, colors aren't correct, et cetera. All kinds of different things could be related to the particular 3270 emulation product being used, network configuration, or the terminal you came in on. One of the most helpful things for service in the open or problem record is the output of the DTERM command from Session Manager. And you can save those screenshots or just copy and paste the data. But what's going to be in there that's important to us is a copy of the CINIT data itself that was used for that binding that session, the log mode that was chosen, and if it's a queryable device, all the repartition query reply attributes will be output from that DTERM command. Having that information will help us. So if there's a problem with a color or an attribute or compression or anything, that DTERM output is very helpful. If you're using personal communications from IBM as the emulator, just do a help about and let us know the specific level you're running. Because oftentimes if it's related to running partial scripts in the emulator and some of the scripts on the session manager host side, we need to know the level of that emulation product Also, if we have to solicit assistance from that level two group, they'll only assist us if it's a supported level. Also, are you coming in on a telnet server coming in through an SNA device? It seems pretty basic, but it's very helpful to us in determining where we need to look, because we might have to look at some of your TCP/IP configuration data. We may or may not require a session manager VTAMP trace and or a VTAMP buffer trace, a GTF, or even a TCP/IP packet trace. So understanding that environment is helpful to us if we're going to work on a 3270 data stream error. Another thing we'll want to know if you're using one is an E25 or E35 input or output exit. Does those get control and can manipulate the data in those buffers? So let's move on to slide 24. Another area where we'll get general questions is just in performance and tuning. So a session manager that's been fully production deployed, and now there's some questions on responsiveness, CPU usage, et cetera. The primary reason for most slowdowns is related to the amount of storage. And the storage usage is certainly affected by the number of users. So if a new group has just been added in, that would be interesting to know. That query stats output is ideal for understanding a snapshot in time when there's a performance problem going on. The number of sessions increased are, you know, has a new set of applications been rolled out through the menu where users are now running a lot more sessions, or are they auto-starting sessions that they were not starting before? And again, is there an E25 or E35 exit? If those get called on every single terminal flow on every terminal, and depending on what you do in those exits, they can have a significant impact on CPU and responsiveness as the number of users grow. So on slide 25, a set of useful commands related to performance and tuning is just the MBS display of the job. And we'll look at just some samples of these on the next slides. Displaying the buffer use in VTAM, querying the statistics, the storage pools and session manager, the get-made-free-made statistics and usage. And then if the E08 timer exit is active, there's a performance panel, which will come up and give you 10-minute intervals of TCB and SRB usage. There's also a store calc panel that will help you based on the query stats output for the number of users and ACBs that you can better calculate the storage you need to tune. Let's go on to slide 26. So you're on this slide with the display job name. I'll put one of the, and you can put this right in the prompt record, as we'd like to know down near the middle on the right is the workload. So in this particular case, since it's my own session manager, just taking the default of the general workload and the service class of batch, but if you're having a problem with performance, that's one of the first things I would want you to do is display the job so I can see what workload and service class your session manager deployed in. It would ideally be in a SysSDC service class or something very high importance to ensure responsiveness and not batch. On to slide 27, the get-made-free-made usage. This is there's a set of storage maps which are defined internally to the session manager, and really what you want to do is take a look at this periodically and again, since I was the only one really using the system at the time. Over on the far right is the column I'd like to focus on where the percent free is. Those are all sitting up in the high 90s, which is fantastic for me. But you really want to be watching those. You never really want to see any of those ever drop below 50%. If they start to get below 50%, you're going to probably begin approaching some type of performance responsiveness issues within the session manager, slower logons, et cetera. And we want to investigate those and try to resolve that, either through storage calc and stuff to get that storage up. Let's go on to slide 28. This is just a sample of the store calc panel where you, up at the top where it says user terminals, you can put in the number of anticipated users and terminals, the number of ACBs, whether sessions will be using Miser or not, et cetera. And then when you hit the PF10 calculate, it will give you some numbers down at the bottom as to your storage limits, and down also at the bottom for max store. That basically just doubles your storage utilization if you can tolerate it. And over on the far right, it'll just basically give you what the region size would be based on what your inputs were on the screen. So if you just take the defaults that come with the product, I believe just 72 meg, that's usually not sufficient to run a production session manager environment. So the store calc panel is helpful to get you better storage estimates. On to slide 29, if you've enabled, and I'm sorry on this slide I said E09, but it should be E08 exit, the timer exit, you can run the performance panel And as you'll see on the times there, every 10 minutes we'll get a snapshot. We can see terminal activity coming in and out and TCB and CPU rates. And often that put into a problem record at the time you're reporting the performance, so we can see before and after. Is very helpful to us to see if their terminal traffic either dropped off suddenly or increased suddenly at a time, or if TCB seconds up. Sometimes if an exit has been reloaded after a change, depending on what's occurring in that session manager exit, it could be using a lot of CPU that you had not initially intended. So the performance panel is very useful to us as well for performance problems. On to slide 30, another area where some problems are reported is either you are deploying online administration with the initial setup of Session Manager, or you are running a classic environment and have decided that you now want to configure online administration. One of the most difficult things for us to get, and I can't stress this enough, is when you deploy the online administration, the first job you'll run is the SIZ PLOC, which is to allocate the Session Manager PDSC datasets. Archive the output of that job. Actually, it's going to be all of these jobs. The next one is the ISZ SSEN job log, which is the system build generation. And oftentimes, when we can get back to that initial archive, we find that there was an error in the OLA deployment, but it wasn't detected. It produces a great deal of output. And you can bring it up and you can run until you have a problem later on, and then we have to go back and look at the system ship output. The last job is the OE job, the OLA enabler job. Again, that output, we need you to archive that and save it and have it available if there is a problem in the use of OLA. On to the next slide, 31. And this is also the LP job. If you're using language packs for foreign language, we need you to save the output of that job as well and have it available. So if you're going to report a problem related to the setup of your OLA, those three or four job logs should be terced and FTP'd in for our analysis so that we can see if we had a clean deployment. On to slide 32, another area, batch administration. Oftentimes here, the most important thing we need to do is ensure that both the online session manager instance or instances and the batch itself had a clean startup. Sometimes the job will initialize with errors, and part of the resulting changes, which may or may not have occurred as anticipated, are related to the session manager startup itself, either the batch or the online. Another area where you want to be focus on is that they are sharing the same data sets, if that's your intention. There are times when you want to run batch administration not using the same production data sets. But if you do plan on rolling out a change and want to see it there, that's what we want to make sure we understand, is that the data sets you're using between the batch administration and the online instances are the same. The next area we will come into is if you want to actually deploy into the runtime the changes you just made through batch, that's typically done through pupdate statements to the remote session manager instances through the network. So if the Sysplex networking is not successfully deployed through the Sysplex group or VTAM, we would need to see for VTAM the link statements and make sure that those are all correct and any errors. So the next few slides are going to be related to what you want to see in batch administration to know you've got some success. So let's go to slide 33. Typically what we're always going to have is the complete output from the batch, and if you're doing activates, online session manager instances as well. Their job, just message logs and the auto logs. As far as diagnostic control statements, you can add, there's a bat SCR script that runs in the batch instance to run. You can specify the list parameter and it'll list out the input statements. And there's also a trace parameter which will provide some additional tracing of parameter resolution and variable resolution within the batch administration itself that's helpful to service. On to slide 34. So here's some sample input that I just ran, and there's many different reasons as to how you're going to administer from batch that you want, but a typical practice, as you'll see, like the third one down, is an ISZ search command. And usually what that's done for is to seed a data set member that you want to process. And typically what the search command will do is search for a set of configuration definitions to group together that meet your search criteria. So in this case, I'm searching my Apple definition statements, and I'm looking for the log mode keyword where it's equal to TN3270E. So I want to basically search through that set of applications in that PDSE, and I want it for output to create a member of my configuration PDSE with a member name of ACTAPPL and replace any existing member that may be there. And what I want that data to look like is using a mask. In the mask PDSE, I have a member called ACTAPPLM. And what that typically is going to be is once I collect all my Apple definitions that have a log mode of 3270E, the output member I want generated, I want to build the commands using a mask value for re-input as to what I want changed. So in this case, I took all my TN3270E applications and I wanted to set the recovery none attribute on them for the high availability, as I did not want these applications subject to recoverability. These applications that had TN3270E were using the Telnet server, TCP/IP, so they wouldn't have been eligible anyway. But for this example, I'm going to modify all those. So this members will tell me exactly what I'm going to apply this to. The next one down is the ISZ-UPDT. That's the update. So now that I've searched on a set of configuration data, and I've used a mask to build an output member with which matched my search, now I want to actually use that as input, which is that ACT APPL member, and I want it to generate some activate statements. So I'm going to make the updates from what I searched on, and then I want to generate activate statements so that I can either now or later roll those into the runtime. The last command, the ISZ-ACTV, is usually the last one you do, and you take your activate statements, and now my configuration has been updated within the PDSEs, and I'm going to activate them into my runtime. So that's a typical scenario of running batch administration. Many users don't do the activate. They'll just sit there and make an update change, and they'll have a separate change ticket that will go in later to do the activation separately. Let's go on to slide 35. The next set of slides will go through just what we want to see for a good batch job. So the first one, that ISZ0436I, that's what we want to see in that batch job, an initialization complete, not an initialization completed with warning or errors, because that could definitely affect what is going to occur as far as the searching and updating later on. We want to see that our ACD, in this case ISZ-SNBT, was successfully opened and made active to VTAM, and then we want to see that the BAT SCR script started successfully. So on to slide 36, when the search command runs, this is what you'll typically see. You'll see it executing, you'll see the search starting, what members it's processing, so it's processing the admin application in the Apple PDSE. It'll tell you how many Apple definitions were searched. So it said that there were 113 within my Apple set of concatenated PDSEs, because it will search that full concatenation. Of the 113, it selected 72 applications, so that would tell me that 72 of my Apple definitions had a log mode of TN3270E, and then the 217 lines of ACT Apple config were what were produced using my mask for my later modification. But the key message here is down at the bottom, the 5003I, saying that the search completed with a return code of 0. So now at least I know that I had a successful search and build of my data. On to slide 37. So the next part of the job step is the ISZ update job. So here again, we see it starting, the date and time. Because I asked for the parameters to be listed, it echoes out my input, and then it tells me it's processing the member ACT Apple and the config PDSE. And then I had many, many more of the 2030i messages. But basically, you'll see in here, it'll say the entry, the member within that Apple. So demo MVS is my first one, was modified in the DD Apple. So we'll go on to slide 38. And then down here, remember my search produced 72 matches. My mask was asking to perform modification of these to change a parameter. So I didn't add anything new. I didn't replace anything, but I did have 72 modification requests. I had no errors, which is one of the key things you want to look at, and it completed with a return code of 0. So this is what you want to see for your update. If we move on to the next slide, now when we're doing the activation, you'll see that the input is the ACTV-APPL that was produced by the update because I had asked the update to generate activate statements that I knew I'd be using later as input. And what you'll see is he's processing that activate Apple member, and it's going to go in and perform a pupdate command. The pupdate command takes that definitional object from the configuration PDSE and is actually going to update in the runtime so that that change will now be available to anyone that's currently logged on to the system. So here the demo MVS member was successfully processed with that change, and you see that in the ISZ8071I, activate successful for that on the local node, batch 20. And that's important to see this, because this is an area where we do get common errors. The activation of this application within the local batch job is really having no effect, because when this batch job instance of the session manager ends, nothing's really changed except the PDSE was updated. The key ones are these remote messages, and this is where we get into problems either with the VTAM networking between the session managers or the Sysplex networking. Either it's not part of the same Sysplex group or the batch configuration was not updated to join the XCF group for this. But in my case, my batch job was configured for my Sysplex because I have a node PDSE for the Sysplex. It knows what systems are about, and it says I'm going to run this command remotely, ISZ21020, and the activate was successful over there, and then it went on to another online instance, the ISZ21023, and issued a successful remote command. Because this is in a Sysplex environment, it all ran under the same user ID. But if you're using VTAM networking, a common problem is that your R user configuration, which is the remote users, don't have sufficient authority to issue the pupdate commands on those remote systems. So that's something you want to be focused on. But again, these are the messages we want to look for success and perform the activation. So let's go on to slide 40. Again, my session manager configuration uses Sysplex networking. So if yours does, you would issue a display XCF, comma, group, comma, ISM, and then whatever your Sysplex group session manager configuration parameter was. So in my case, it's PLX1. So in displaying the group ISM PLX1, I can see that I've got two instances active, the ISZ21020 and ISZ21023. If there were more, they would all show up. If I had run high availability and I had a standby or controller instances out there, they would show up as well. So let's go on to slide 41. Another option in Sysplex networking is to display XCF structure and the structure name. So in my case, it's ISM user underscore and then the Sysplex group name, PLX1. And it shows me that it's successfully allocated and it's a list structure. So that's where my users that are logging on to my ISM Plex will be tracked within the list structure so that when they come back in to reconnect, we know exactly which session manager instance they're associated with. Let's go on to slide 42. The next thing you can do optionally is if you're using a shared audit log stream, is display logger for the log stream name. In this case, mine is ISZ21log.allrex. And this is where I can view, and we'll see this later on in the presentation, all the messages from every one of my session manager instances grouped together into a single consolidated log. If you're using this, that is extremely helpful for debugging because you're not switching between systems and logs. I can see it all together in a single timeline. Let's go on to slide 43. One of the last areas where we get some common problems coming in are related to security. Probably the key things we need here are the source and the assembly listing from your E21 and E22 if you're using dynamic menus, those exits. Because even if you have not made changes, we make changes. We will ship maintenance that will redistribute the source of those members to solve various problems. So whether or not you've modified it yourself, we need the source and listing that goes with your configuration so that we can begin diagnosis. The next thing that's just very useful for us to have is just rack list the classes that you're using. So if you've configured the auth class for command authorization levels or the dynamic menu class for hidden menus, the sign-on class for getting on to the session manager, or the terminal class for what terminals can access which applications. RAC lists those classes so that we can see the profiles you've defined, because that is going to be exactly what those E21 and 22 exits are going to be doing RAC route fastoff requests on to determine. So having that data available to us will help us more efficiently solve a security-related problem. So let's move on to slide 44. Other diagnostic tools. These are just certainly not all, but these are some things that are helpful in solving a problem or capturing data that we'll need here at level 2 or the change team. I've listed them out here, and we'll look at some just brief examples of some of them. There's a system management menu, which I find extremely useful because it has all the commands listed on it. I don't have to go to a book and look them up. The online help, I think, is fantastic without having to go back to a book. A help desk, which will let you query users, and you can either cancel a user or stop a user. But that's a great thing to just get a snapshot of a user, all their sessions, their profile that they're currently using, etc. Some of the sysplex-related commands, we briefly mentioned the dterm command to get the user's CNET data, their partition query attributes. The ISM dump command. So if you're having a way to hang a loop, a performance problem, issuing the session manager dump command will produce a formatted dump for us. Oftentimes, a configuration is very complex. And if any of you know who've deployed a session manager, the available configuration tuning knobs are daunting. There's just a multitude of options and things you can change, combined with lots of user scripts, init scripts, and everything else. And sometimes we'll go through a prog record, you know, many, many times, and we cannot recreate the symptom that you're providing. You're giving us step-by-step details and everything else, and we still can't produce that problem. And what we'll often ask for, and it's helpful to us, and usually we can recreate when we've got it, is just the DFSMS, ADR, DSSU dump. Just dump this entire environment. And then, you know, we can go ahead and go through all these configuration data sets, and we can look at the members, and we can figure out that, oh, this is where, you know, what I didn't have, or you may or may not have been able to tell us is what the cause was. So we can take that in, and we can go ahead and restore that entire environment. We can bring up our own session manager using your data sets. The audit message and format message are helpful in scripts and panels that you're coding. Sometimes those are even more useful diagnostic tools than turning on the session manager trace data commands. Basically, it's like doing a little WTO to the audit file around every other statement in the script, so you can see what variable resolution has occurred or how far along you've gotten in your script. Some scripts are very complex in their logic. Ideally, you want to avoid that, but sometimes as you're making changes, the scripts grow and grow and grow. So audit message is very helpful, and I would recommend leaving them in. If you've got them in there, you can comment them out or set a variable where you test and issue these audit messages around key logic within the script. But they're very helpful for diagnosing script problems. The ISED VARS is a quick panel that will show you basic global variable names and what they're resolved to. Then there's a value of the variable name. So oftentimes you may have some of your own variables you've defined, and you just want to see quickly what is that thing currently set to, because I don't know why my script is not running properly. Let's go to slide 45. The other things are the trace command. You can trace data, which will get session flows. You can trace VTAM, which will get the session flows and the VTAM, so it'll show me an initial bind request, my send and receive, RPLs, etc. A trace miser, so if you're using compression, so we're modifying the data stream, doing like repeat to address, etc., we can see how that miser operation has occurred and how successful it's been. There's also a TTPSL trace, which is a script trace. I've used it on my own. At times it can be very helpful, though. It will show you before and after a variable is resolved. But what it lacks is, if there's a lot of commenting within your script, the numbers that it relates doesn't include comments. So sometimes it tells you it's on line number 18. It's really on line number 24, so it can be difficult, which is why oftentimes just the trace data is more helpful along with the script source for debugging. And last but not least is just a good old VTAM display net ID command. So if there's a problem with a particular ACB being stuck or blocked or people can't log onto an application, display that session manager ACB name with the E on it, and we can get a paste that into the prog marker, and that'll help us know what's going on with that particular ACB. So on slide 46, just a quick example of the session management menu. Again, it lists out all the commands. You can choose anyone you want, but it's nice because they're all grouped together. You may or may not know some of these commands even existed, but here they are for you without having to look in the book. And again, the online help will tell you about every operand and parameter you can specify, and I find it very helpful when versus having to go back and open the PDF file to look through the books. On to slide 47. Here's just a quick sample of the help desk, and what's very nice about this when you're working on a problem related to a particular user is it will tell you what session manager node they're signed on to. It will tell me their profile. Mine's KixL2, their terminal ID, the number of sessions they have active. It'll go down and it'll list the sessions, their session numbers, which ACB was chosen. So if it's related to our ACB range problem, you can see which one was chosen. If there's any scripts currently running, so down in my system management menu, my help desk, it'll show me the actual script names that are processing and running those applications. So this is a very helpful thing to paste in. If there's a problem with a particular user, query that user, capture that data, and paste it into the ETR. On to slide 48, please. If you're using Sysplex networking, the Sysplex summary menu is a very helpful thing to just paste in there. It shows me the name of the Plex, the number of active instances, the number of terminals and users in the Plex, the particular MVS SMF ID, this particular session manager node. What I can do from here, though, which is useful, is I can display the users and the nodes, and I can look at the audit log, which is that last one, Sysplex audit log, and see the consolidated log of all my session managers that are grouped together and what outputs come out. That's very helpful. Slide 49, please. And again, we mentioned the ISN DETERM command. Anything related to incorrect output or 70 data streams, input inhibited, colors, etc., issue that command, take the CINIT, the partition queries, and paste them into the problem record. Slide 50, please. The ISN DUMP command. Again, if you have a wait, a loop, performance, storage, security problem, and the reason I mentioned that security problems, we'll be able to see the resource profiles and the exits and stuff that are in memory in that dump. So you just type in dump, and it'll produce a suffix dump. Let's go on to slide 51. Before you do that dump, though, is you want to make sure your sysdump settings are correct. So just make sure you issue an MVS change dump command and set these particular S data and P data options, and that'll ensure that we get all the control blocks and private storage that we need in a session manager dump. I can't stress enough to do this prior to issuing that dump command because oftentimes we will get a dump in and the S data, P data options were not set correctly by the default and we're missing critical private data or control blocks in that dump and it's of no value to us. So on slide 52, dumping the configuration. Again, in the instances where we can't recreate based on your descriptions of the problem and trying to match up maintenance levels, what you want to do is just dump that entire environment out for us, and that needs to include the step live data sets you're using or linked list data sets. If you're using OLA, all the configuration data sets, your VTAM list configuration data sets, so we can see your VTAM definitions. If you're using a Telnet either coming in or outbound Telnet server sessions, we want your TCP IP configuration data sets, the source code data sets, and for all the exits that are currently in use. On slide 53. So here's just a sample ARDSSU job to dump mine out. My data sets included everything here that we would normally need. And then we would just take that and we can just restore that down on our own system and go through it and do our debugging. Let's go on to slide 54. This comes in handy sometimes when you are writing scripts or you just need to know a variable really quick and maybe you can't remember it. So this ISADVARS panel will display common variables, and if you look down PF9, you can also see some more general variables. You can, actually, this panel is supplied, you can modify it and add more of your own. So if you've got some of your own user global variables that you set, you can just go ahead and add them to this panel and they'll display up on your screen. But that is very handy, which is when you need to see a quick set of variable resolutions. Let's go on to slide 55. Again, I mentioned these when you're writing scripts or panels, audit message and format message are ideal for producing diagnostics, and I would put them in and leave them in, just either comment around them or use logic as to whether or not you'll issue them. But they're probably one of the best ways for debugging scripts and panels. On to slide 56, this is just an example of value. So let's say on my system I had a global variable, character data, so that's a GC, so that's a global character data, the clock value. that I had wanted to store, and I wanted to see what it was set to, so I issued a value command for my session manager menu, and it came back and told me that that was set to 235900. But again, for any variable you want to see, you can go ahead and take a look at it through the value command. Slide 57, please. So we've reached the end of our gathering of diagnostics. Just for some common problems, certainly not every problem you could possibly encounter or every possible amount of diagnostic data. But in summary, what we would ask is that you always provide the preliminary information level 2 when you open a new PMR. So go ahead and paste in that query ISED, S-manager, or query staff command so we know the level that you're running, how many users and ACBs are open. Give us specific details, step-by-step, of what you are doing, what you're trying to accomplish, who is involved, the time and date of when a problem occurred, so we don't have to go through many lines of a log to try to find it. You also want to always issue the message ID or panel ID and use that data in a search of your own. When you go out on the Internet and search on the session manager support site, you'll often get a better hit searching on the message ID or panel ID than you would trying to find freeform text. And then lastly, always refer to that last URL and TERS and FTP as binary to our ECU rep FTP site, the diagnostics you've captured. If you can have that coming in when you open the problem record, again, we could be more efficient in getting back to you. Let's move on to slide 58. These are some additional resources you can reference for upcoming webcasts, as well as the ability to subscribe to, down at the bottom, my notifications emails. I would recommend everyone do this. They're very useful. You can choose what you want, and then you're alerted to new updates for the product. So if we come out with a session manager PTF that adds a new function, you would get a flash on that if you were registered for interest. If we set something as a PTF in error, you could get flagged on that immediately. If we're going to have an upcoming webcast, you would be notified. IBM Education Assistant. Though there are not modules available for the session manager, there are many, many useful education assistant presentations out there, so I'd recommend you go and take a look at that as well. So that said, let's move on to slide 59, and I believe that'll take us to our polling before we have some open question and answers.
Thank you, Bill, for a great presentation. At this point, Sarah, we would like to open the line for questions.
And it appears we have no questions at this time.
Thank you, Sarah. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.